Dub Nation, you're listening to the Warriors Post Up with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy.
Rebound goes to Keith Santos. Man, you gotta watch those people who like run the mini wars. They're like the DEA. They come right through your knock.
Oh, they're there. They're hiding in it.
Quiñones with a jumper, no good. Rebound goes to Sacramento, 10 seconds. All they have to do is get in the clock tap. And the Sacramento Kings, congratulations to Mike Brown and his team. They have won the play-in game, 9-10, and they get a trip to the Big Easy. Final score, Sacramento 118, and the Golden State Warriors 94. Well, last year, the Warriors' season could have ended here in Sacramento in Game 7. It did not. But now, again, so many relationships between these two and a lot of respect for last year's playoff series. And a lot of handshakes and hugs. And a lot of decisions that will have to be made in the upcoming offseason for the Golden State Warriors franchise.
It's kind of a weird scene, right? You got one team who's done for the year, it almost feels like the end of a playoff series.
Right.
But the other team, they're not even in the playoffs.
They're still not in the playoffs. That's crazy.
They just won a basketball game that ceases to exist. It's kind of a weird... Does that make the... Are the Warriors now 0-3 in playing games?
0-3 in playing games.
0-3 in playing. My suggestion, stay away from the playing game.
That is a great suggestion. I'll put that in the box.
Yeah, make sure you do that.
118-94 the final. We'll take the break. Our final State Farm postgame show of the year comes up next, right here on the 95.7 The Game Warriors Radio Network, presented by United Airlines. Well, the Golden State Warriors came to Sacramento with hopes of heading out for a date in New Orleans to take on the Pelicans, but the Sacramento Kings came out, outplayed them, outfought them, out-hustled them tonight, and the final score was 118-94. Warriors had cut it to 4 at the break, but came out to start the third quarter the way they started the game, like it was not a Game 7. And as a result, Sacramento wanted it more. And they had a great game plan. Warriors ended up with only 19 assists, and their defensive game plan for Sacramento had a lot to do with that. That tied a season low for the Warriors, 19 assists. And there are not many games that the Warriors can survive. Wiggins, 4 of 11. Klay Thompson, first game in his career, he shot 10 shots and didn't make any. 0 of 6 from 3. Jonathan Kuminga, 6 of 15 from the floor. So you have three of their, you know, guys who usually fill the number two scoring role. And, you know, they combine for 10 for 36. That's not going to get it done. And, again, I give credit to the Kings, but I just felt the Warriors weren't ready to play tonight, Tommy. And,
yeah,
you know, as you point out, second chance points, 25-9. You know, points off turnovers, 20-12. You know, they were beaten every hustle category.
How many rebounds, especially when the Kings were on offense, hit the rim, bounced, and the Kings were the first ones to get to it and
yep,
slap it out? It's an 80% success rate for them, I would imagine. I mean, it seemed like they were always the one getting those balls. They just seemed like the younger team, the more spry team, the team that was desperate. Like, it was a game. It was almost like one of those games where the Warriors came in leading 3-1 in a series, and the Kings were playing for their playoff lives, and the Warriors had a cushion. But this was a Game 7 for both teams, and I'm not saying the Warriors didn't treat it that way. It just, from just watching the game, that's what it looked like. It looked like one team was desperate to win, and the other team just was a half beat slow to everything the Kings were doing. And they got themselves behind, made a nice little run at the end of the second quarter, and then came right back out. Had a couple unforced turnovers in the third quarter, and the Kings started hitting threes. And that's what happens, one-game scenario. I mean, you get a game like that where they're going to hit 18 threes in third quarter. I think they were 7-for-9, and that's really where they kind of put the pedal to the metal. And they just couldn't keep up. They weren't getting quality shots. And then when they did force a miss, the Kings would find a way to get the offensive rebound. But it's tough enough to come back from a big lead once, but you get bet down that much again, then it's even tougher. And it was made even tougher by the fact that Clay and Wiggins really struggled tonight offensively. Between them, 12 points. Clay didn't score. Wiggins was only 4-for-11, but 4-for-21 between them. And those are guys that you count on. I mean, Steph can't do everything, and he only got up 16 shots. I mean, he had 22 points on 16 shots. That's really good efficiency. It was just he only had 16 shots because of Mike Brown's defensive game plan. Doubling him, having length on him, not letting him see over the top, forcing him to put the ball on the ground and try to get to the rim. But it was a really good game plan. But I just thought they were a little hungrier tonight. They were like a step ahead of the Warriors tonight, and the Warriors were never able to recover.
Yeah, it's I don't say it's a microcosm of the season. Everybody always uses that term. But there were some things tonight, I think, what happened here reflected in the way the season has gone, you know, where they're just not, you know, with all the, you know, they've talked all year long that everybody likes each other, they have good chemistry. But you would think in a game like this, they would come out ready to, you know, just blow the other team's doors in, but they weren't ready for that. And, again, it's kind of a year where they're kind of in between. They still think they have championship core material, but they're going to have to get better. As you say, the Bill Parcells, everybody uses that. Your record says who you are. The problem I see for the Warriors in this offseason, you know, you need to get longer. You know, as you mentioned, a wing defender.
Yep.
I think you need to get a little bit more athletic, and you need to get more three-point shooting.
Yep.
And that's going to be hard to do with their roster, the way it is constructed, their salary structure. And the other part about this, too, is that everybody has to get better. Because here comes Memphis. They're not going to be like yep. they were this year. Here comes San Antonio. They're going to be better next year.
Yep.
The Houston Rockets, they're pretty young. They should get better.
Yep.
You know, there are a lot of teams in the West that aren't making the playoffs who are going to be fighting for the playoffs next year. So... This is going to be an interesting offseason, I think.
And guess who's really young? The number one seed.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, number one seed, I think they might be the youngest team in the league. I mean, they're not going anywhere.
And they have 45 first-round draft picks
exactly.
in the next 5 years.
So, it just gets tougher and tougher and tougher. And it's, you know, these guys are going to be another year older next year. You know, Steph, another year. Draymond, another year. Clay another year. So you're counting on, you know, kind of Wiggins as your youth, Kuminga, Pajemski, and Trace Jackson Davis. And is that a core you think you could go into the future with? Now, I'm not saying the veterans are done yet. They're not. But they need more help now.
Yes. Okay,
it's not just them. It's not, hey, we got three or four of us. Let's ride and go get this. That's just not the way it is anymore. Their bodies can't do that anymore. The legs can't do that anymore. And your skills wane, even if it's just minimally, they wane. So you need that. And they don't have a draft pick this year either. So, you know, you're going to have to find it in free agency. The way the salary cap is and their commitments to this roster, that's going to make it tough. So... You know, I've said it multiple times this year that this is the natural evolution of a dynasty.
Right.
If you want to pay everybody and reward everybody, and I certainly don't blame Joe and the Warriors, I'd want to do that too. I mean, these guys won championships. These guys helped you get your building built.
If you don't reward these guys, who are you
going to
reward?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, your choices are reward them. Or get rid of them a couple years early and start building that way. That's not fun. I mean, the fans aren't going to like that. Doesn't sit well with anybody. But, I mean, this is what happens. you pay guys, they get older, and they're not quite as good, and it's harder to build your roster because of salary commitments, and your draft picks aren't super high, and, you know, they had a chance at one high draft pick, and that didn't pan out, and I don't blame them. And I feel bad for James Wiseman just because after three games he got COVID and injured. And all, never, it just, for whatever reasons, that was your chance to kind of like reset and keep stepping forward. It didn't work. Kuminga is still a work in progress, and Moody is a viable, I think, you know, rotational guy. But it's hard because you got to hit on guys like Pajemski. That was a fantastic draft pick. That was later in the first round, and to hit on something like that's great. Trayce Jackson-Davis, second round. That's another really good one. But it's hard, you know, to get top-end talent because you're not drafting that high. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens this offseason. I can't imagine they run it back with this group and maybe add one or two more guys. I think you may have to look at it and go, okay, if we're going to do a little bit of a facelift here, where do we go? I mean, what options do we have? And look, some of them may not be pleasant at all, but that's the world. It keeps moving. There's going to be another season in the NBA, and then there'll be another one after that. And sometimes you got to make decisions. Some are tougher than others on what you want your team to look like next year. But I know one thing. I know Joe always wants to win.
Yep.
Always. And I know they feel like Steph can be the best player on a championship team. I feel that way. I still feel like Steph can be your best player and you can win a championship with him. It just now, everybody around him has to be a little, maybe a little bit better than they were when they were with Boston. But you look back at the Boston, Wiggins was incredible against Memphis and Boston.
They don't win the title.
No, not at all. I mean, yeah. Draymond was a couple years younger. Clay had a fantastic postseason and ended it. So, you know, things change and you try to figure it out, but I still think they would look at it. I would think they would look at it this way. This is the way I look at it. That look, we still got to try to figure out how to build around Steph. Like, Steph's still the central figure of this organization. He's a central figure of this team, and kind of go from there and figure out what you want your roster to look like around him. But I know one thing. I mean, they're not going to look at that and say, we want to pay all this money for a 10 seed again. I mean, that doesn't cut it. If you're paying that kind of money, you want to feel like at least you have home court advantage in the first round. So it's going to be interesting. It'll be really interesting. This may be the most interesting offseason that the Warriors have seen in quite some time.
Well, you know, we should also mention, you know, when you're in either a play-in or a playoff, if you don't go all the way and win the title, your season kind of ends abruptly, and it has again this year. And I have to say that, you know, with Mike Dunleavy and his staff, and Steve Kerr and his staff, so many great people on both of those staffs who really make our jobs a lot easier.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's unbelievable the relationship we have with those people, and that bleeds down to the players. And it's such a joy to come to work every day and work with those people, because they're very nice. They understand our jobs. They know what we're trying to do, and they help us. They help us along the way. And having them not only as colleagues but also as friends, you know, from, you know, Steph leads the way in the players' locker room. You know, he is just the nicest, most unassuming superstar you're ever going to meet. And everything you read about him and all the positive things he does, that's who he is. And so, you know, again, but I can't tell you how much I enjoy working with the coaching staff, and how much access and ease of my job they grant me, both home and road. It's just a pleasure. And I know, Tom, for you, it's not only a pleasure, but you get to work with one of your best friends.
Yeah, no, I mean, the head coach is kind of hit or miss, but other than that, everybody's great.
Yeah.
Let me clarify.
Well, he is Dr. Junk.
Because some people may be listening going, wow, he really feels that way? They don't know that Steve and I have been really good friends for, whew, what is it now, 30 years.
No, more than 30.
Yeah.
Heading to 40.
Dang, it really is, isn't it? Jeez. Thanks for that reality check. I appreciate
it. It's about 37, maybe, 38.
Probably, it is getting close to 40.
Yeah,
now, he is I mean, I love that guy. Everybody knows that. I think he's a fantastic coach, a great leader. And I know this is trite to say it, but he's an even better person. He cares about people. He cares about people in the organization. He cares about people in that locker room. And you could see a lot of that kind of bleed through into how the team goes about their business and treats one another. And I think he's just – you couldn't ask for anybody better, in my estimation, to lead your team. I'm not saying he's better than some coaches out there. I mean, I think the world of Pop and Spoelstra is incredible, and there's some other really good ones out there too. But I would trust this guy with my team any day of the week just because of his coaching acumen and his humanity, and you add all that together. And for me, it's so much fun to be able to call the games that he's coaching, because I was calling games before he came here, and then when I found out he was coming here, it was pretty cool. It would have been nice if he would have given me a scoop, but whatever.
But boy, it still stings, huh?
But to see him have the success he's had, and kind of knowing this was his path, and knowing what kind of leader he was playing with him in college, I mean, I couldn't be more thrilled for the guy. And it's going to be fun watching him coach the Olympics coming up. That's going to be really cool. You better win with that roster. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, jeez. Have you looked at Canada's roster?
Look, the 12th guy USA just added was Kawhi. He was the last guy. Yeah, we'll take Kawhi, too.
Oh, yeah, you.
Yeah. Hey, you want to play? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll play. But, no, look, I don't think when you look at this season and you look at this game in particular, I don't think it's really anybody. There's no, like, big fault for why they are where they are. I mean, certainly you could point to Draymond having to be better and not getting suspended as much. That certainly did not help the cause. There were some injuries along the way. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, this is who they are right now. And we could still make a case that if Draymond were there, they could have been a 5 seed or a 6 seed. I'm not sure that it would have mattered either way. It's just that's the roster you have right now. It's a little bit top-heavy, but the youngsters came along nicely this year and played well. But the West is stacked. I mean, this is what the Warriors used to do to teams when they were dominating. They would just roll teams. I mean, even more so, they would roll teams. So, I mean, you could have a good year, and I'm not saying they did, and still lose in the Western Conference playoffs. They didn't have a very good year by their standards, but it didn't look quite as good because, Draymond missing a lot of games this year. But I just look at this year and say, okay, where are you right now? If you want to be championship contenders, are you that? The answer to that is no right now. Okay, can you get yourself to that spot this offseason? Going to be really, really, really tough. Doesn't mean you don't try, but you try to figure out ways to do it. Then you say, okay, is that worth it? Do we want to do this? And how close does that get us to the championship? How close does that get us to competing, at least feel like we're competing for a championship? Like if this team were to make it to the playoffs and they won a round, maybe they would look at it. They would look at it completely differently.
Absolutely.
Like, okay. Maybe we a little here, a little there. But you're in a play-in game, you lose. Now you got to look at it through the lens of, okay, we're the 10th seed, we lost in the opening round. Now where do we go? If our goal is to win a championship, and I know it is, where do we go? And what can we do? I guess a big question is going to be, can you do anything? I mean, as you said, it's not like you're going to be able to go out there and just absolutely reload with free agents. Nobody's out there trying to help the Warriors out anyway. So is it even feasible to do something like that? And if it's not, you start planning for 2 years down the road and say, okay, let's try to put ourselves in a position in a couple years to be in that position. So it's all the byproduct of winning so much and winning championships. I mean, this is what happens. Nothing stays the same forever. And at the risk of being redundant, because I've already said it 2 or 3 times, it's going to be a really interesting offseason.
Well, I have to tell you that one of the things that I love about my job is I get to come to work with you, Tom Tolbert. I get to work with Alan Brown, our statistician, R.C. Davis, our producer. You guys are not only, you know, good broadcasters, you're good friends, and it just it's a dream to be able to work NBA games and to be able to work it with people that you like and respect. It's pretty cool, and I thank you guys for making me sound so much better because of all the hard work that you guys do.
Well, I will second what you said, and you lead us, so we just kind of follow, and we appreciate...
That's a rudderless ship.
We appreciate your professionalism. You're one of the best. I kid you about that. I know you don't like to hear about it, but you're the California Broadcaster of the Year for a reason. You do a hell of a job in your craft. And for those that don't know, I mean, just as good doing baseball and football and all the stuff. I mean, it's amazing the stuff that you do, but the detail that you have for all the games, the knowledge of the game itself, the players, the study that you do, you're always remarkably prepared. You're actually prepared for both of us, which is a very good thing. I gotta give you that. But more than anything...
Who he play for?
My, that was one guy. And I remember who it was, the guy for the Bucks. See, I remembered. But with you, Alan, RC, I mean, for me, it's just fun. Like, yeah. I look forward to getting to the arena and doing the games. Not only do I love, you know, watching the NBA, but it's just fun. And I just feel like we're sitting back watching the games, calling the games, having some laughs, not taking it too seriously, but also knowing it's serious in its own little world. But I love having fun. I love laughing, and it's so much fun working with you guys. Got to get both of those and get to enjoy the best players in the world, you know, 40 some odd times a year. So thank you guys. You guys make it a lot of fun, and I love that.
Enjoy your off season. Be well.
You know where to reach me.
Yep.
You know where to reach me, unless I block you. But I probably won't.
Oh, I'll get to hear Yakety Sax one more time.
Yakety Sax, one of the greatest songs of all time.
All right, man.
Tim, thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much. Tom Tolbert here on our broadcast. We have other people to thank on the broadcast again. James Kincaid, who is our associate producer and does such a tremendous job for us night in, night out, and is a good broadcaster in his own right. I have a special thank you for Kevin Dana, our G League broadcaster this year. He filled in for me a few times this year because of a home situation that I have going on right now. It's ongoing, and thank you so much, Kevin, for doing a great job, because it's just so great to have a professional to follow up and to fill in, and somebody I know that works as hard as I do on the broadcast, and I know there's great things in your future. Marika Clito on the broadcast, and thanking our TV partners, Bob Fitzgerald, Kalina Azubuki, and thanks to the guy who came in right at the same time I did with the Warriors, Marcus Huffman. You know, he used to share an office in a upstairs room with no windows. It was back in the old Coliseum. And Marcus, there's no one else on earth I'd rather share that office with than you. Thank you so much. That was way back in the day. And of course, right at the top, Joe Lacob and his ownership group, Brandon Schneider, everybody works in the business side that allow us to do what we do. We have the best public relations crew in the business. Raymond Ritter, by far, is without question the best PR man in the league. And, of course, he has very talented people underneath him, Brett Winkler, Michael Ravina, Cole Lawrence. And then we also have a guy who is, I think, is the best guy doing game notes in the league, and that's Daryl Rada. And he's always fun to be around. He always takes your call and tries to look up whatever number or stat that you're asking him about. And, again, all these people make our job so much easier. IT, they are so supportive and always around at Chase Center to help us out. They're always available at a moment's notice when I'm on the road to help me with a problem. That's Gordon Lamb, Shauna Brotherton, Brian Lee, and I will work on that new laptop, so we've got that going for next year. Our friends at 95.7 The Game, our flagship station, Matt Nahesian, who does a tremendous job with that radio station. They have made so many great strides. All the great hosts that you listen to on a daily basis on our flagship station, and they'll be talking, I'm sure, a lot about the Golden State Warriors here in the next few weeks. Sterling Bennett is the man. He's at the controls for 99% of our games and does a great job back in the studios. You know him for his Niners coverage as well, and he is very much looking forward to the NFL draft, so make sure you tune him in to find out his insights and knowledge about that. And thank you, Sterling. Let me tell you, it's so much easier to know that I have a professional back there who is handling things for me and reminding me of what I need to get to. I always appreciate that. Mark Grandy, Evan Giddings, Tim Jordan on the technical side, these are all very good professional people. From Warrior Studio, we have Tom Fernetti, Cassidy Iwashita, Blake Wilberding, and then broadcast superstar Janet Fong, who's been around with the Warriors a long time and is someone great to work with and who does a lot of great camera work behind the scene. Our affiliates, KESP of Modesto, KINS in Eureka, KPAY up in Chico, KNRO in Redding, KRKC in Monterey, KSRO, our friends in Santa Rosa, and KUNK in Mendocino. I still got to get up there and ride the skunk train. But anyway, great affiliates, great people. Our engineers, Mike Baird, Mike Kropichka, here in Sacramento, and he does come down the causeway to help us out once in a while. RJ DeSanto with us, and of course I mentioned Dallin Brown and Jeff Chapman, who runs his company, Stat Factor. They give us all great numbers and ready to go. So that's going to wrap it up. We've got a couple of things to do. We can tell you about the Kaiser Permanente scoreboard as the L.A. Lakers were taking on the New Orleans Pelicans.
Here is Reeves dribbling right all the way to the middle. D'Lo for three. Got it! Huge three for Russell. Puts the Lakers up by four with 50 seconds remaining in the fourth.
John Ireland on the call on the L.A. Lakers radio network, 110-106. Lakers beat the Pelicans. They will play the Denver Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs, and the Pelicans will host Sacramento on Friday in the winner or go-home scenario in that game. The loser of the 7A playing the winner of the 9-10. One more thing to remind you about, and that is that the WNBA is coming to the Bay Area. They just had their draft yesterday, and what a great draft it was. And the Warrior team will begin play in the 2025 WNBA season, yet to be named that team. And they'll play at Chase Center. You can get your season tickets at warriors.com/WNBA. Get 110-106 your final. The Lakers beat the Pelicans, and here in the Sacramento, the Golden State Warriors fall 118-94. R.C. Davis will close out the radio portion of the season, and that'll be next on the Warriors Radio Network.